The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler with you here on this Friday, last day of the week. In fact, it's the last Friday of May right here on 710 KNUS at 10 o'clock, Kirk. Then we go Prager Gorka back live and local with Flora and then Tubbs from 3 to 7, Flora 3 to 4, Tubbs 4 to 7. Stick around for all that stuff. Don't forget the Western Conservative Summit's coming up, folks. It's on the 9th and 10th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Easy to accommodate their awesome schedule. Saw some of the names of the folks that are going to be there. Whether it's the local congressional superstars of Buck and Boebert or the big talkie head people, Metaxas, there's Riley Gaines is going to be there, Tulsi Gabbard, Josh Hawley, a whole bunch of big time folks in there. Go to 710knus.com and check out how to get those tickets. And then, of course, we've partnered up with the Centennial Institute, as we always do, for this biggest of this part of the country conservative summit. It looks like this one's going to be pretty darn awesome. Here's what we've been talking about, and it started with my alma mater, the University of Colorado Boulder, through some organization called the Center for Inclusion and Social Change. And by the way, in the title, they're telling you they're trying to change society. They're into changing society, and that's because, of course, they've cornered the market on what right is, and your opinion on that is irrelevant. And it's made irrelevant and highlighted here by the fact that they tell you that you may never presume someone's gender, no matter what you think. And that means you can't presume their pronouns. You may never presume someone's pronouns. You have to ask them in a very polite way. And they give you an example here like, hey, what are your pronouns? Or you can introduce yourself and say, hey, I'm Steve. My pronouns are him, it, and that, or something. I mean, Z, or whatever they give you the options for. And they tell you in this thing that choosing to ignore or disrespect someone's pronouns is not only an act of oppression, but it can also be considered an act of violence against someone. And so the conversation that we've been having here is, one, I don't think it's intentional. Like if I were to say, I just don't acknowledge the reality you're trying to put on me. You're trying to tell me that you're a female. I don't see it. I don't believe it. I don't care what you tell me. I don't think that's true. Am I intentionally doing violence to someone? If they tell you it hurts me when you don't call me she or her or Z or Zier or whatever it is. Is that it? And then we talked to Joe from Arvada. It was interesting. And Joe was, he tried to make it all biblical and stuff. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, he says, listen, I've had run into those situations on the job and whatnot. And I've always deferred to what they've asked me to do. And I feel like I probably would. And in the past, I told you the example of the 16-year-old murderer out of the STEM school shooting. And the court's just instant bending over backward to say, tell me what I should call you and tell me how I should refer to you. Even though it's a court of law and facts and stuff, they just said, you tell me what to call you, I'll do it. I can't imagine any other person being granted that. I can't imagine someone being allowed to address the court as an attorney or even as a layperson, as a party to a case, and use a name that isn't the party to the case, or to say, I want to be something, or to take the stand and swear to tell the truth and stick up your hand and say, I am. I mean, imagine that. What if you took the stand and swore to tell the truth and say, I am a woman because that's the gender that I choose. I am a woman. I mean, couldn't you be prosecuted for perjury if you're not a female? I mean, but here we are on the University of Colorado public school campus, and you're being told that the very first thing you do when you encounter another person, you're about to have a conversation that might involve language, and that language might involve pronouns, that you have to first establish who they claim to be by virtue of gender. Not name, not like, hey, what's your name? My name's Timmy, and what's your name? My name's Susan. Okay, whatever. But the pronouns, and if you don't, it's violence. We've had full lines. We're going to continue to go to those full lines. We've had a ton of text here on this thing. Frank from Golden, you're on 710 KNUS. Frank, what are your thoughts?
Hey, George. Well, one of the things that I think has to be, I'm not sure if this, I mean, this is an organization that is part of the University of Colorado. Am I right about that? I mean, they're,
no,
they're,
it is. It is part of the University of Colorado. Comes right off their website. I'm looking at it right here. In fact, it is. You could find it by searching up Division of Student Affairs Center for Inclusion and Social Change. It's right there at colorado.edu. The Pride Office.
And I guess, well, you know, wonderful. If somebody's getting paid to occupy these jobs is bizarre. But here's what I'm wondering. I mean, are these just suggestions here? Is it, I mean, that this is how you ought to act as students or something
yes.
like that. I
yep.
mean, there's no hammer that they have to go kick you off campus or something, is there?
No, there's not. I don't see anything that says, hey, there's punitive sanctions for you not doing this. I don't see that.
I mean, here's my thought on it. Not yet. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the next step. Here's my thought on it is that, you know, CU is not unlike an employer. I mean, students there, you don't have an automatic right to go to CU. You have to enter CU. You have to, there's a process. It's just like a job. You don't have a right to a job. You have an ability to hold a job, and the employer can dictate what the workforce, you know, looks like and how you treat each other. And so, you know, I think it's obviously it's absurd to think that this is violence or oppressive. And at this moment, I'd like to just offer my third-party moniker or label to people who've put that into these, you know, suggestions, is that you're morons. And if you don't want to be called a moron, or if you feel like being oppressive or violent to you, don't act moronic. But part of this is that, I mean, people can set whatever parameters, your job can set parameters, and if you don't want to follow the parameters, you don't have to be there. They can fire you. But overall, societally, I don't think you have to abide by ridiculous fact ignoring monikers and things like that. You don't have to abide by it. And if you don't want to be, you know, subject to these suggestions by the University of Colorado's inclusion and whatever group, you don't have to be enrolled there.
But if you,
know, you
are enrolled there, are you consenting to that stuff? Are you like when you... You know, Frank, deal with people, and I don't know if you've ever run into someone who's transgender or transvestite, or it kind of doesn't even matter, because you could just be a dude under these suggestions. You could just be a dude and tell people, I'd like to be called she and her. And if you don't take them seriously and take them at their word and bend to their will, you are doing them violence, and it is oppressive. What would you do in that situation?
I guess my thought on it is that I don't think I'm consenting to it. It doesn't sound like you're necessarily consenting to these parameters up at CU, because this is more along the line of suggestions. But if it's a job situation, you know, if you go outside these parameters that are part of your job construct, then they can discharge you. You've consented to abide by their parameters for employment. It's a like a implied contract. But you know, I can elect to go outside the parameters, and the employer or school or whatever can elect to do whatever they think they need to do disciplinarily for me not abiding by these parameters. It's not a fatal or etched in stone thing. I don't think it's that, but maybe I'm being wishy-washy on it.
I understand where you're going with it. It's interesting to me that you would say an employer can put upon you the requirement that you have to address people a certain way under the pain of discharge.
Correct.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. And yet we have a situation here, and we just talked about this in the 6 o'clock hour, where the state of New York has said you couldn't discharge someone or refuse to hire them for being morbidly obese, because it's like, well, as long as they can do the job. It's just an interesting juxtaposition here that we have the government coming in saying, employer, you can't tell someone that they can't work for you because of whatever healthy or unhealthy lifestyle they have, this morbidly obese thing. But you can dictate to an employee how they must address another employee based on what that other employee tells them. That's just very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, we're drifting over into other things now. I mean, I think an employment situation, if you can do the physical requirements of a job and you're morbidly obese, you know, but you are still a candidate for that position, they can't just discriminate against you because your obesity, because of a characteristic of you. But if you can do the job, that's apart from that. I just view it as being, you know, and I'm with you on this, like, why should I ever be constrained to ignore facts? You know, if somebody wants to be, you know, called, you know, His Majesty or something, I suppose, you know, it would take more energy to ignore that request than it would be to just call him His Majesty and roll your eyes and smirk. You know, I don't, these sort of things, I guess, it's more a matter of just being respectful or offering what respect is needed in the circumstance to abide by their request. I mean, if I call somebody who's obviously male a she, because that's what they want to be called, look, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to roll my eyes and smirk.
Hold on. Wouldn't that do them violence? Wouldn't that do them harm? Because you're saying it, but you don't really mean it. You're not really trying to respect them if you're rolling your eyes and smirking.
Correct. I'm not.
Okay,
but I'm also not ignoring facts.
But then are you doing them violence and oppression? I mean, is this where we're at now?
No.
Is that you're
never, no one's ever doing violence or oppression if you're doing anything like this. And whoever labeled that up at CU is just stupid. I mean, that's beyond stupid dumb. There's no violence or oppression taking place. It's just dumb. Like, quit overstating these with these hyperbolic descriptors of how this works. Because you're bringing down the whole use of the word. The term. It's stupid. I mean,
Frank, I think this is our future. And I don't mean that we have to do this, but I'm telling you that next generation. And by the way, Frank, thank you so much for the phone call. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I hope it's meaningful for you. I think this next generation feels differently about it. If I ask my kids, I imagine they'd be like, well, of course, I'm just going to respect what anybody tells me. It doesn't really matter what I perceive the facts to be, because if they say it, I'm just going to believe it. Here's some more texts as the phone lines continue to fill up. Gina in Aurora, don't compare calling someone the N-word with using the wrong pronouns. I'm tired of these alphabet movements trying to compare themselves to the plight of the black man. Here's another one. How far are we going to go with this craziness? Another, I remember when the Twilight movies came out and kids wanted to be vampires. Would it be oppressive not to acknowledge them as vampires? I guess it would be. Here's another one. It hurts reality and known truths. Ignoring reality and facts is the end of society. It's very Orwellian, isn't it? Words mean what I say they mean. Another one sends in a quote here. No one can make... I'm sorry? Who was it? No, that could be Lewis Carroll. Yeah, Billy says it's Lewis Carroll. But in the Orwell world, they redefine the words to fit whatever it is, whatever their reality is. Here's another one.
The statement that words mean what I say they mean, that's Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. I think it's the Cheshire Cat.
Cheshire Cat from Lewis Carroll. Thank you.
So.
No one can make you feel inferior without your permission. That's Eleanor Roosevelt. More text. Billy and the others need to get thicker skin. Another. So if a white man wanted to identify as a black man, is that the same as a man wanting to be called a woman? Another great question. I don't know the answer. I agree with you, George. Proud you are standing your ground. It's like using Miss, which is MS dot, in place of Miss or Mrs. MRS because a woman doesn't want to have her marital status indicated in the business world. Is it? Is it the same thing as going by Miss, Mrs.? I mean, that's not really a pronoun. It might be a title of sorts, I guess, how you get called. But is that the same thing as saying I'm a Mrs., but I want you to call me a Mr.? That's what it feels like. I mean, at the end of the day, do you want to be kind and get along with your fellow citizens in a civil society, or is it more important to vindicate your personal sense of rightness regardless of how it impacts others? It's up to each individual to make that choice, but no one should be surprised if they get pushback for knowingly hurting others whose opinions are just as valid as yours. How about put the shoe on the other foot, Texter? How about doing harm to the person who's like, please don't make me call you something I know you're not? It just makes me all messed up inside to think that I've got to bend my knee to a non-fact to accommodate your feelings. Then, if you're insisting on it, Aren't you hurting that person? Aren't you doing that person some wrong? Rachel Dolezal used to be shamed. Now she's really black. That's pretty funny. I wonder if that's where we're going for this. Are we ever going to cross the line from you can choose to be your gender to you can choose to be your race? 303-696-1971. I just don't know the answer. Joan from Lakewood, you're on 710. Joan, what do you think?
Well, I have a little story about how my niece had pronouns they and them. And I practiced really hard before she came to visit. And I said, how are they? What has them been doing? And she said, stop. Don't do this in front of grandmother.
Hmm?
You heard me.
Hmm. And what'd you do?
I stopped.
Why'd you do it? Why'd you stop?
Because she was obviously embarrassed to be doing this kind of thing in front of my mother.
So what's the answer here? Have you run into this, Joan, anywhere else, like out in public where you've met someone and you're quite certain it's just someone who is either transgender or transvestite or crossdresser or any term that you want to use? And do you refer to them as that thing that they hold themselves out to be, or do you refer to them as something else?
Well, this is what I did call about. I called because I've been hidden. My post has been hidden on Nextdoor because I refer to people as illegal aliens.
Hmm.
And the people want me to refer to them as undocumented migrants.
Yeah. So you can't use the federal words.
Yeah. So I put on there and I said, you know, I'm just referring to how it's done with the law. And the reason why I'm doing this is because we are discussing making the schools in Jefferson County processing centers for illegal aliens. And so I then said, you know, I am using this in the law term because here's the deal. It's illegal. If your car is stolen, it's illegal. If you swim across the Rio Grande, it's illegal. And if you can't acknowledge that there's laws and that you can break the law and then it is illegal, we become a lawless society. Anyway,
well, go ahead.
They hit my post, so I edited my post because I think it's very important. We have this discussion in Jefferson County about repurposing our schools for processing centers. By the way, processing centers, does this not sound like Nazi Germany?
It does.
It does.
Like re-education or something.
Right. I am vehemently against doing this with these schools that were built to have children. Now, they have managed in Jefferson County to do all sorts of things so that they have lost 55,000 students after the pandemic. And that is just because what they've seen in when they were children were on video and stuff. The Jefferson County says, oh, the demographics have changed. Yes, we don't have any children anymore. We're just old and young people who will never have children. But still,
well, I don't think that's true. My sister lives there with her two kids, and they're all in school out there. I mean, the kids are getting older, but I don't think that's true at all. But Joan, I appreciate the call. We're up on a break. Enjoy your weekend. Have a meaningful Memorial Day, okay?
I will, and thank you for talking about this subject, because quite frankly, I don't think we should be able to be told how to think and how to speak.
There's a difference between, and thank you, Joan, a civil society and doing things out of respect and courtesy and all that other stuff. And there's other things where you are being bent to someone else's will under the threat of words like oppression and violence and being told that you're rude if you just don't acknowledge what they tell you to acknowledge. It sounds like that's a limitation on your freedom, too. I don't understand how we've gotten to a place where facts are now negotiable as to whether or not they exist or not. I didn't think we'd be here. And It does make me wonder if race is next. Before we cut away for a break, we're going to come back. Brent and others that are at 303-696-1971. We'll get to you. Tons of texts still here to get through. I'll try to read through those as best I can. Before I cut away, though, I want to tell you about the real estate market. I'm not because I'm a genius, but because Gay Ribble is and the Empower Home team, they are. They're the ones that are built to help you get out of your home and into that dream home with the least amount of stress possible. It is a family-owned business helmed by a female CEO. I don't know what to say about that other than Gay Ribble is awesome. Any kind of business is awesome when Gay's at the helm of it. And in this particular case, it's a business that sells homes faster than other realtors on average and gets you more money on average than any other realtors out there. They have a new program that gets you sold in five. It's called the Sold in Five program. You get 6.1% more for your home, even under that timetable. They also have programs and plans and all sorts of educational stuff online at EmpowerHomeFreeWorkshops.com. That's EmpowerHomeFreeWorkshops.com. You give them a call at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Or you can check them out at Gay Has the Buyers, because she does, about 14,000 of them waiting for your listing. GayHasTheBuyers.com, G-A-Y-E HasTheBuyers.com. When we come back, it's you, me, the calls, the text. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Interesting bumper music for the conversation that we're having. George Brockler here, 710 KNUS. Our number, 303-696-1971. It's a topic that just sort of organically popped up here and has kind of taken control of the show. Tons of texts, more texts than I can ever remember receiving on any other topic. You keep those things coming. You can hit us at the app, of course, 710KNUS.com. You can also call us like Brent and others at 303-696-1971 before we get back to the phone line. So a couple texts. How do you handle the fact that my husband prefers black and is offended by the title African-American? Yeah, I don't know. But I'll be honest, in my normal discourse with someone who is black or African-American, I don't use those terms. Like, I don't say, hi, I see that you are black. I mean, you can prefer whatever title you want there or term, but that feels different to me than engaging with someone based on this pronoun thing. And it's an interesting question because I think the race part, and I brought this up to Billy, we had some texts on this. Like, when do we get to the point that we can say, well, I feel like I am a black person. I know I'm white, but I want to be referred to as someone from the black culture or the African-American culture. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Here's one. So, yes, here's two. Thousands of years of using pronouns we've used. You don't just throw in the trash. When you use these pronouns, you're confirming that you believe these people are right. I have to go by what the Bible says, not what a small percentage of people say. So I agree with you, George. Reality is there are XX chromosomes and XY chromosomes, and that tells us exactly what a person is.
That's sex versus gender, though. That's a different argument. Sex and gender are different, and the idea that just
because we see them as different.
It doesn't matter what you see them as, but that definition.
Well, hold on.
No, based on
it
definitions,
does me harm to tell me that they're different.
No, that's again bad analogy.
Based on definition,
they are different. And the idea that just because we did things over tradition is also a bad argument. Tradition is a necessarily bad argument because there are a lot of things we did in this country for tradition that we don't do anymore. I mean, I hate to be a jerk about it, but one of them is owning people. We were okay with that for a long time. It was a tradition that was part of the argument that the South made when they broke away. So making the argument that because it's tradition isn't necessarily the strongest thing. We've made some bad choices based on tradition.
And
for a while,
pronouns have been those bad choices?
No,
like all throughout history?
The person is saying the pronouns, and they're saying because it is tradition, that is why we need to honor it. I disagree. I don't think the tradition is necessarily your strongest argument, but I got to answer the phones now.
I get that, man. I just, again, I'm still caught up on this whole that gender is not the same thing as sex. It seems like it is based entirely on sex and always has been.
Hello.
Hey, Brent, you're on 710 KNUS. Brent, what do you think?
Well, I got an interesting tale for you. I have my wife has...
Uh-oh, Brent, hang on, buddy. Let me... Hey, Brent, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I'm so sorry, man. Somehow our little button got unpopped. Go ahead. You were telling us a story.
Yeah, I say, so my wife has a friend that she's known for a long time since high school, born female. In the last 5 years... She has gone through a transition process because she has always felt masculine and male, and she has included us on this process. So we've been able to witness this transition that she's going through. I'm going to use pronouns as I see them so they'll confuse things. She has come to the point now that she sent us a picture, and she was fine with all of it because she's proud of where she is, what she's done to her body. Removed both breasts, had plastic surgery for the scar tissue. She is on testosterone, and there's several other supplements that she's on. Growing facial hair in strange little patches.
Yeah.
And she sent us a picture of this, her in front of the mirror with her arms up flexing. And I can honestly tell you it was one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
What does that mean?
Well, to look at a human being in this state, to understand that there is a conflict inside of them. And my wife says, you know, you have to start calling her a man. And I said, well, hang on. How does she know what a man feels like? What is her, where is her basis of thinking that she is a man? And she said, well, explain that. I said, well, she is not ever going to be able to understand what it is like to build a structure of yourself, muscular, be able to do things in a forest that a man can do.
Yeah.
Be able to protect a family in a way that a man can do. She does not have a member on her body that can become as hard as rock at a certain point. She does not have that perception of what an actual man is. She has a perception of what a man is perceived to be. Because she would never know what it is to be a man. And that gets into the other core arguments of basically natural law, that there is a principle of gender. Gender is in everything. It's got masculine and feminine tendencies, right? I don't think there isn't anybody on this planet that doesn't see that come out differently in other people. When we start talking about gender versus sex, that's an interesting combination of terms. It gets clouded because of the social perception of what a man is, what a male is. And I think the transitioning scenario, the pronouns, the identification as such, can only be seen as a social construct, because there's nothing that someone can say to make someone else believe that how they feel inside, okay?
I understand that, but I just don't get where I'm trying to research it right now. Like, when did sex and gender become distinct? Like, how can
that's
you...
That's because they're undoing the definitions.
And that's true, and that's what this thing says. This physiology.org website says the same thing.
Right, and I think that this is all First Amendment stuff, my friend. If you can unmake a language and a term that has been historically used to agree upon something, then you can make anything true. If I'm looking out into a field and I see an animal out there with four legs and a tail, and I say, look at that. And that guy says, that's a nice bird. And I say, that's a dog, bro. No, that's a bird. We are not on common ground for identification of such. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not sure that's a First Amendment thing, because that would require government intervention to make that happen. Right.
Well, it's still speech. Well, I'm just saying.
I get expression. This is expression.
Now we move into the mandation of such, like you're seeing in Boulder, where you are now in a lawful position of being able, or a legal position, to be able to mandate that someone act or say a certain way. Then that's now taking it into the First Amendment scenario. And
it's guidelines, Billy, for right now. And I thought that Frank from Golden had a good point on it. It's guidelines for now. I just wonder what the next step is.
If you can call someone violent
for not using the pronouns of your choice, aren't we right at the doorstep of some sort of discipline because you've done violence to another person, like
right.
you have slapped them?
Right, right. And I would ask this to Billy here real quick. I'm 6'3", 230 pounds, and you and I come to each other and we meet. The next step in this equation is you ask me what I identify as, and what if I say that I identify as a child?
I don't know. Is a child one of those social constructs, or is that a term that defines something factual?
Well, what comes to mind first?
What, a kid.
Okay. What is the next steps in this scenario if I truly do identify as a child? You're not allowed to tell me then that I cannot be attracted to another child.
Well, I can. I'm going to ground you if you do it. If you're a child, I'll probably...
Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I see where you're trying to get this thing going. And if that's where this is going and I haven't seen that connection yet, of course it's another reason to oppose this stuff.
Well, they're transitioning children.
Well, there's that too, man. They are allowing kids to make decisions on things that are permanent and big that they won't let them make decisions on the small things, like, can you have an aspirin? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You can't buy marijuana, can't vote.
It starts.
Can't do
it. It starts somewhere. This is what we're seeing.
You can pick your body parts. That's very interesting.
Right.
Hey, thoughtful conversation, Brent. Hey, have a meaningful Memorial Day. I wanted to open up your line for others. The phones just keep ringing. 303-696-1971. Another text here. It's going to be hard to get through all of them because there have been so many. You guys are hilarious. I agree with you. I've also worked with those who honestly cry and get their feelings hurt. If they're called something they are, they think they are not. If you refer to what my husband would say, do you have those of us who grew up in reality? Some of this must be talk to text because it's hard to discern here. The last few generations have no clue about how to be a hard person, how to be direct with people. They have never been scolded. They've never been spanked. I've never been cut a corner. And God forbid, should you try to hurt their feelings. That's where all this is coming from. I think that's true. Was it wrong for Muhammad Ali to change his name? Nope, not at all. I think you can change your name to whatever the hell you want because you've gone through the legal process of changing your name. And in fact, even if your legal name was Joe or something like that, but you said, hey, I go by Chip, or something like that, I'm probably going to honor that as well. But if I'm a judge, no, man, I'm not calling you Chip. I'm calling you by the name that's on the pleading. The pronoun issue is like validating the delusions of schizophrenics and hurts us by giving in to the devil. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I just don't think it's got to turn into the faith thing. If I reacted every single time I was mislabeled, I'd be reacting constantly. People presume I'm a progressive leftist all the time because I'm black. Another, hey, Billy, did you ever stop and think that all of these people suddenly identifying as transgender might have ulterior motives for identifying as such? And if not, shouldn't they be getting psychological counseling? One more and we'll get back to the phones. I work for a large international publicly traded company and we get DEI bulletins regularly on every possible related subject and beyond. Recently, we received one that said we should no longer refer to our wives and husbands as such and rather use partner or spouse so we don't offend others. My wife is not my girlfriend or a friend with benefits. It's an honor to call her my wife, and I'm deeply offended anyone would dare try to take that from us, let alone put it in a finger-wagging writing. Then again, I'm a very straight, very white, very male type. Well, until you say something otherwise. 303-696-1971 is the number. Ben from Morrison, you're on 710. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I'm glad Billy brought up the point that gender and sex are not the same thing.
When did they stop being the same thing? Because that hasn't always been true.
No, because sex is a biology, you know, what your DNA, what your chromosomes are actually saying. And there's more than two. There's not just male and female. There's a bunch of different sex abnormalities. There's Turner syndrome. There's Klinefelter syndrome. I have a master's degree in microbiology, so I would love if somebody tries to debate me on this because there is more than two.
I appreciate that you call them abnormalities. They are deviations from the norm, right?
Yeah, it is deviations from the norm, but like saying that there's only two genders is like saying there's no such thing as Down syndrome. And it's like, that's blatantly false. There is such thing as Down syndrome. There is such thing as more than having two genders. I can't remember if you remember
why
this.
Why is there more
gal.
Than having two genders? How is that possible?
Because
if it's a social construct, when's the last time society constructed more than two genders?
The Navajo had four different genders. There's a group in India that had five different genders. So it's happened in the past and
have a billion, you can have an unlimited. Can every single American have their own gender?
it's an anthropological construct, whereas sex is something that's scientific, that's based in your DNA. Well, Those are the differences.
I get that part, but the gender has, until recently, been tied to that sex. Right? Like, you couldn't be born all the body parts of a female and then declare, I am a man. That just...
In some societies, like I said, the Navajo have...
Not ours, buddy. That's never been true.
What's the difference? You say, like, only American societies matter? Is that the only difference?
For purposes of where we live and the discussions we're having, yes. I mean, I'm not interested in adopting India's approach to society for purposes of our conversations here. I mean, all the other things that other... Listen, Afghani warriors over there rape little boys all the time, and it's just accepted, and it's okay. That's not something I'd adopt over here. And I realize that's an extreme example, but I don't think the purpose of the conversation is to say, can we identify a society out there that sees things in this different kind of way? So I get what you're saying, but is what you're... The conclusion you're coming to is that 347 million Americans can have 347 million genders? If they choose to do that, if it's a matter of choice?
No, but we're not dealing with that. This is one of the reasons Republicans lose elections, is you spend so much time on this, so much time and bandwidth on these little items that don't really affect people's day-to-day lives
very much.
They affect
every day-to-day life. That's why there's guidance on it at the CU Boulder website, man. They're telling people, if you don't acknowledge what they tell you to acknowledge, you're oppressing them and doing them violence. Tell me that's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. If somebody says, hey, I just want to be called they, like, okay, cool.
Yeah, you get to make that choice.
That's all I have to do.
But someone not making that choice is not doing violence to somebody else. That's crazy. Can you imagine in a society where if you choose to call someone something they tell you to versus something that they are, that you're doing violence to them, and that's not a big deal? You're like, this isn't a big deal. This is why Republicans lose. They do, because we're trying to twist facts into something else. That's why Republicans lose.
You lose because you don't like formulate things that actually do affect people's lives, like getting a healthcare plan together. Like, why can't Republicans put a healthcare plan together? You spend so much time on this minuscule culture war stuff, and that's why you get your ass kicked every single election.
So the culture is irrelevant.
It's just silly because you're dealing with such a minuscule portion of the population.
It's if it's so small, why does it show up in these terms, these very, very stark terms, on a public school website dictating or at least encouraging students to act a certain way? Why is that? If it's not a big deal, why address it at all?
Keyword, encouraging.
Yeah, but why does it exist on the web? If it doesn't, in this website, why, if it's not a big deal? Why would you tell someone it's violent for you to not acknowledge whatever they tell you you must acknowledge? Why would, that's not a big deal to you?
No, they're just recommending people treat others with respect and like if they want to be called something.
You're a violent person for doing it.
They didn't say that.
They said it's an
act of
violence.
Did they say that on the website?
It says it's an act of violence if you don't, an act of oppression if you don't. So if you don't, the person engaging in the act of violence is a violent person. The person engaging in an act of oppression is an oppressive person. So if I choose to not say what this other person says, you must call me this, I'm a violent person? I'm an oppressive person? Dude, that is a big deal.
No, but you're just kind of being an ass. Like, it's just
Am I?
Yeah.
So if I come up to you and there's not a single thing about me that says anything other than I'm a guy, and I tell you I want to be called Barbara and you will refer to me as she or her. And if you're like, buddy, I'm just not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend that you're something that you're not. Now I'm violent and I'm an oppressor and I'm an ass.
Does it do you any harm?
It's
to
not
just
a
call
question
that person
of
Barbara?
Does it do. It's not a question of does it do me any harm. And first off, it does do me harm because you're asking me to acknowledge something I don't. Is it wimpy? Is it wimpy to say I don't want to acknowledge your false premise? Is that wimpy?
Does it hurt you so hard? Like, it doesn't just
does it hurt
your core
you
apart?
If I ask you to acknowledge that I'm African American? Does it hurt you at all for you to do that?
I wouldn't acknowledge it.
Why?
Because it's kind of silly.
But you would acknowledge it because you don't want to be an ass. You don't want to be an ass. You want to respect whatever anybody tells you they are, right? So you would acknowledge it.
But if you want to say you're African American and you want me to call you that, like, sure, great, whatever. And then, you know,
doesn't that
back
sound
behind
stupid?
The scene,
doesn't
back
that
behind
just
the,
sound stupid, Ben? Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
But back behind the scenes, I'm like, yeah, this guy's an idiot. You know, he's not African American. But whatever. Like, if it's going to hurt your feelings, whatever, if I don't call you African American, whatever.
It would make you violent oppressor. Ben, I love the phone call. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for the segment. We've gone super, super long. Thank you, Ben, for the thoughts. Don from Lakewood and everybody else, I promise we're going to get to you. Keep those phones ringing. 303-696-1971. Got to cut away for a break. George Brockler, George Show, 710 KNUS. Hey, listen, we are right back, but we got to cut right away. So listen, here's the thing. Don, everybody else, I promise you stay on. You keep calling in. We're going to continue this conversation, maybe with a little twist, too. Stick around. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.